One sec, I'll just keep the review also. Have you published the review in the Note 20 Ultra? I don't remember. I'll just check it out. Yeah, cool, chal. Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra 5G. Well, that's quite a mouthful. This smartphone is the best of what Samsung has to offer right now in the world of phones, obviously. And Jamshed Awari, our reviews editor, is the one who's reviewed this phone, and he's here to talk to us about, obviously, this phone and, apart from that, what Samsung has been doing over the past few months and how good or how bad this phone is.
Hi.
So, yeah. Hi, Jamshed. Good to have you here once again. And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, Jamshed, with this smartphone, it's coming at a really odd time in many ways. Now, Samsung was fortunate enough to avoid any kind of a delay with the launch of the Note 20 Ultra in India. And it's also shipped in some really impressive stuff on this smartphone, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's also extremely expensive. This phone starts at around 1,05,000 rupees. Not starts at, I mean, that's the only price because there's only one version of it available. But it's not super, super premium because Samsung also now has the Galaxy Flip and Fold series. So, you know, it loses a little bit of its flagship status, but it's still got pretty much everything other than a bendable screen that you might want in a phone.
Yeah, so Samsung has actually been pushing the envelope quite a bit with its smartphones. We've seen the Flip and the Fold, like you said, and of course, like, that is one area where all the innovation and all the high prices are happening. But that's not to say that the Note 20 Ultra is cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, this still has a high price, and I mean, you could say that it's the most high-end practical phone that Samsung has, in that it doesn't bend and doesn't need to be handled so gingerly. But I mean, it is extremely large and not all that practical in the real world.
Yeah. So before we start talking about the Note 20 Ultra itself, I think it's probably a good time to remind people that there is also a non-Ultra Note 20, right, in the market that they can pick up. So what's the price difference between these two smartphones, and who should get the Note 20 Ultra over?
So there's a huge price difference. It's around 80,000 rupees for the lower priced one and about 1,05,000 rupees for the Ultra. And there are a lot of differences. These are not just two different sizes. So the smaller model isn't just smaller. Of course, it does have a more compact screen and body, but you also lose the 120 hertz variable refresh rate, you lose the QHD resolution, and you just get full HD. You also lose the curved sides on the screen. There's a difference in terms of the cellular networks, because the lower priced model is only 4G launched in India, and the higher end one is only 5G in India. You've also got a difference in the RAM and the storage. You don't have a micro SD slot on the smaller phone. It doesn't have the ultra wideband and the S Pen, which of course defines the Galaxy Note series, has a higher latency, which is, it's still not very high, but there is a difference between the two. And a lot of people might find this even more annoying. The lower priced one has a polycarbonate back and it isn't all metal and glass like the Ultra. So you're still paying around 80,000 rupees, but you're not getting a lot of the features that you can get in a 35 to 40,000 rupee phone these days. Oh, and of course the cameras.
Yeah, that is actually
big difference is the cameras. Yet you don't get the 108 megapixel massive resolution primary camera, and you don't get the 5x optical zoom either. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, when you said that there is a polycarbonate body in a 80,000 rupees smartphone. Well,
yeah.
I think I had forgotten that people were talking about it, but now that I remember it, I really feel a bit shocked.
Yeah, a lot of people are quite put off by that. But the fact is that if you want a Galaxy Note device, and if you're used to having, you know, the large screen and the S Pen, you don't have a lot of choices. There's these two models. So you've got the non-ultra, which is more of the traditional note for the traditional audience of business people who want the productivity features. And then you've got the ultra, which is basically, you know, just the excuse to shove every single flagship feature into one phone. And it's for those people who really just want the ultimate companion device.
So another area that a lot of people have raised in the past is that in India, we get the Exynos 990 yes. chip on these Samsung Note 20 series phones. But abroad, I think, especially in the US, they ship the Snapdragon 865, right? If I'm not mistaken.
865 Plus.
Plus, yeah. So that's the one we saw on the ROG Phone yes. 3.
Now, so there is... Is there
like a reason to complain about this processor coming
to India?
So
there is a significant gap in performance, and it's not just about the processing power, it's also the graphics. It's also potentially the 5G and 4G network speeds that a lot of third parties have started comparing the two and are indicating that the Exynos-powered versions of these phones might be weaker. So yeah, a lot of people are annoyed because, you know, you're paying so much and you're not getting the best possible version of this device. But it's also possible that because of differences between countries and currencies, that Samsung would have to charge more money for these devices if they launched the Snapdragon versions in India.
So, I mean, already, like you said, after paying 80,000 rupees, you're getting a polycarbonate back and what is said to be an inferior processor and inferior
So, relatively inferior, yes, compared to the best that's out there and the best that you can get in a lot of flagship killer phones such as the OnePlus series and the ROG Phone 3 that you mentioned, based on pricing.
So,
is a little annoying. But that said, the Exynos 990 is still top of the line for this generation. It's still extremely fast. You're not going to notice the slightest lag or slowdown. It's only really benchmark tests that are designed to stress a phone continuously that will reveal any major sort of a difference.
True that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about the apps you're going to run, and most people who are going to buy the Note, they're not exactly going to be looking at this as a gaming only device where they'll be playing 8 hours a day or something. The purpose of this device is come something completely
No, this is much more about a lifestyle and the flaunt value, if you can say that.
Yeah, that's what. So I've been wondering for a few years now that does the Note 20 have a big enough audience for all those other things that related to the S Pen and other stuff? Because we've seen quite a few gimmicky features on these. I think last year they had that air gestures added to this S Pen.
Yeah, last year and recently there were some Bluetooth actions added and air gestures are new with this model this year. So for the Note series overall over the last couple of years, yeah. I mean, Samsung's obviously been under some pressure to deliver something that's new and interesting with each revision, and they have to release something every year, even if there isn't that much you can do that's new or different. But concept-wise, I mean, yeah, you're going to want the S Pen features if you're used to them. You're going to want a fresh device with them. And you don't have to upgrade every single year. You're probably coming from maybe a Note 6 or a Note 5 at this point. So you'll probably find that there's quite a lot that's worth the upgrade.
Yeah, so let's talk about those things then. I mean, is the Note 20 Ultra 5G worth getting, and why should people buy this?
So if you like the stylus features and if you're used to the Note series, then number one, obviously you're going to have the big screen and you're going to be able to scribble notes on it. With this generation, the S Pen is supposed to be far more natural with a pen on paper feel, to the extent that they've gone and made it make scratching noises like a pen nib on paper, which is obviously exaggerated and extremely annoying and can be turned off. But you do get that reminder that it is extremely responsive. And there are a couple of new tricks. So handwriting recognition is very good and you can instantly select text and have it translated, or you can take a screenshot and mark it up with notes and send it off to somebody quickly to communicate your ideas. You can even, of course, scribble instead of typing, which might be something that's good for people with mobility impairments. You know, it's not just about using a pen for the sake of using a pen. And then Of course, you've got the new gestures, which mean that you don't have to constantly switch between pen and finger. You can, once you get used to them, you can perform a few actions, such as multitasking or triggering a screenshot, for that matter.
So, yeah, I mean, see, one thing I wanted to bring up, which you also mentioned in your review, is that one of the things you highlighted is that the S Pen is now genuinely useful, as opposed to some people who think that, okay, this is just a gimmick. So all the things that you're highlighting, they kind of add up.
Yeah, I think it's always been genuinely useful. There's a lot of people who think that a stylus is a bad thing for a touchscreen phone because it reminds us of pre-iPhone smartphones, like, you know, the Ericsson, Sony Ericsson P900 series and the old Motorola's, and they're just various models. The Windows
Mobile.
And
let's not forget modern devices like the Nintendo 3DS, which
yeah,
also
you know,
had
Windows Mobile, or even if you could go back to the Palm Pilots where you had to learn a different alphabet and type, you know, scribble one character at a time. But we're well past those days, you know. You don't, the stylus is not essential for navigation. It's not your primary UI element. It's an additional way to write and type, and maybe if you're using different languages which don't have the English script, a stylus is a much more efficient way of typing. So there's a lot of ways in which it is, yes, genuinely useful.
Yeah, true that. So another thing I wanted to check with you is, this time the camera specifications do look fairly impressive. We do have that 108 megapixel primary camera on this device, and while obviously like other pictures that you've taken in the review are pretty good, I wouldn't expect anything less. What was genuinely impressive for me was the night mode. Now everyone can go to gadgets360.com. over there you can check out the Note 20 Ultra review that Jamshed has done. See the camera samples for the night mode. There's like, I mean, it's a cliched phrase at this point, but a night and day difference between the non-night mode and the night mode shots.
Yeah. So honestly, we're seeing a kind of a confluence of the Note series and the S series over here, where the Note series in the past wasn't necessarily known for camera quality. That's something that Samsung now thinks people want every single flagship feature. So that's what we get. And yeah, you can get some absolutely staggering close-up shots. The optical zoom is very, very useful. And you can get hybrid zoom, but it's the night mode that truly surprised me and like truly stood out about this phone. Because I can tell you, you know, just shooting indoors at night with just a little beam of light coming in through the glass pane at the top of a door, you know, just things that you can't even see with your naked eye are suddenly brought to life. Like a literal light is shining on the darkness. It's quite shocking actually, because when you take the photo and you tap over to the gallery to see the, you know, to see what you've just taken, it doesn't show up immediately. There's a little spinning icon on the screen and you can sort of see, okay, you know, this doesn't look that great. It's noisy, it's grainy, what's going on? And then suddenly, you know, it's done. It'll like pop and show up. And I mean, the immediate reaction was just complete disbelief. So it's not magic. It won't be night vision in a room where it's completely dark. But if there's just a little bit of light coming in, or maybe just shining in from a certain angle and lighting up one corner of your frame, you can see the entire thing. You can see detail. You can see color. Like a lot of night mode photos, they'll brighten a frame. They'll improve contrast. But color is lost. You know, everything is still sort of gray. But here you've got everything. You can read labels on bottles. You can see textures. You can, it has to be seen to be believed, really.
Yeah, true that. Now that I'm looking at the camera samples while talking to you, what you said, it totally holds true, because there was one picture of the buildings that you've taken, and in that you can tell which is the new building and which is the old building based on the night mode shot.
If you're looking at that shot, and everyone who goes to the website and looks at these results should notice the sky. because you can see the cloud, and I've tried to show the standard mode and the night mode in such a way that you can see the foreground and the background of this particular sample. And keep in mind that this was handheld. It wasn't on a tripod. It wasn't lined up deliberately or anything like that. And this is just one sample of several dozen, I think, that I took just because I had to see like how good it is and will it work in all situations and how far can you push it. But look at the sky and look at the building roof in the foreground right at the bottom of that frame. And you'll see that you can see the clouds, you can see the contrast between the clouds and the sky, and you can actually see the definition of the tiles on that roof. And I mean, I wish I could have put in like 20 sample shots and befores and afters, you know. It's truly staggering.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, no amount of description is enough. You actually have to go and see the results to believe it for yourself. And I'm actually very, very glad to see this, because in the world of Android, unfortunately, while Google managed some really good results with these night mode shots, I think they were the first ones to do this in the industry. Their focus on the smartphone industry, particularly in India, has not been that great. I mean, we've been seeing some really weird things from them, such as not launching their flagships, pricing their mid-range phones as if they were a flagship device. So things like that have not exactly worked out very well in the Indian market, and I don't think those phones have been selling very well. So if it's coming to other devices, such as the Galaxy Note Now, devices that people actually buy here, then that's good to see. Hopefully they'll trickle down to a slightly more affordable price point, and then we'll all be able to, you know, enjoy these without shelling out a bomb. I suppose with the Note 20 and Ultra, the night mode should work with both, right?
So, keeping in mind that the cameras are physically different on the two phones, you know, you don't have the 108 megapixel sensor, which probably plays into this, you know, with the super high resolution translating to a greater amount of light that you can capture, the sensor is completely different. So I wouldn't say that this is the same for the lower end model without testing it myself, and so we haven't had a chance to see that yet. You know, these are still flagship devices. I don't think we can say yet that capabilities like this have trickled down or are coming to phones that are going to be accessible to everyone. In fact, other companies have taken this approach. You said that Samsung was one of the first, but in fact, we've had night mode, you know, suddenly become a very important feature for a lot of companies, ranging from Google with its single camera and AI-based approach to OnePlus to Apple. Apple also touted that more recently than other companies. Others did it before. But everyone from your Oppos and Vivos and Realme's, they're all doing night mode. And sometimes you can see a separate sensor that's employed just for that purpose. Sometimes it's more to do with software. Sometimes it's combining optics, various things. And you also said that Samsung's mid-range is not serving needs for the country very well. But, you know, the company has responded fairly comprehensively to the recent influx of Chinese brands and competitors that only sell online and shave their margins. And so with the M series and the reinvented A series, we've seen quite a lot of products that have been very successful. Now, things change every couple of months. Everyone has a new model that's launching. There's no one model that stays on top of our recommendation lists for 6 months or more than that at a stretch. But Samsung has had its fair share of hits with the M series and the A series in the 10,000-ish rupee range and the 20,000-ish rupee range. And granted, they've tried to scale up to the 30 and 40,000 rupees price points within the A series, and that's caused a little confusion with the older S series models available at the same prices. And those ones haven't possibly been the most attractive, but they are still hitting price points that Samsung cannot hit right now with features like a 108 megapixel camera or such a phenomenal night mode. To add to that, there's the additional complication of the S10 Lite and the Note 10 Lite, which launched early this year and, you know, sort of inserted themselves into the hierarchy in a confusing way. But they do represent an interesting deviation for Samsung, because for the first time, you don't have to rely on an older model to get something like the S Pen at a price that's lower than the current flagship Note. You know, you can look at this light version. And it is possible, I think I'm hopeful, that we'll see a Note 20 Lite maybe in January next year if the company decides to keep this up.
Yeah, true that. That segment is very, very crowded. There are like way too many competitors. Hopefully, like features like this are exactly what will help the company carve out a niche over there, because I don't think Samsung will be able to provide an 865 plus at under 50K
or something. I mean, it's an awkward situation when you are sort of in this position where you have to deliver a flagship killer to kill your own flagships. And I can definitely see them not wanting to go down that road. And there's still a certain cachet that the S series and the Note series have. Like, people are still willing to spend a lakh, you know, on the latest iPhone or the latest S series or Note series device. But yeah, you know, like the OnePluses of the world have definitely come in and given people an alternative if they were price sensitive.
Yeah, true that. So one last thing before we wrap this episode is that I've been reading some rumors, which are all rumors. There's no like actual information that I have, that suggests that the Note series is probably not going to be around in the future. Samsung will probably like merge the S series and the Note series. Now, the reason I'm interested in like hearing your thoughts about this particular rumor is that over the years, we've seen that, you know, the distinguishing factors between the S series and the Note series have like reduced significantly, apart from the fact that the stylus is there and some new features are there. I don't see too many differences there. So
I think it's already happened. If you look at this Note 20 series, it is a superset of the Note series and the S series. I mean, this phone is basically a slight improvement over the S20 Ultra, and it has the S Pen, so that makes it a Note. So basically, you have right now a superset of both devices. So Samsung might decide that it doesn't make sense to wait an entire year to have a successor to this one. And so it would make sense for the next S series device to closely follow this one and not be a partial successor, in that it will have a new processor and better cameras, but it won't have the S Pen. So, you know, if you sort of get out of this lockstep pattern that we have right now, you know, with one alternating with the other, you might just want to do it all in one go. So I think it might make sense, and it might help this situation in which we've got a Note series device that isn't just focused on the pen. So I wouldn't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind this ultra tier continuing, where you've got the S Pen if you want it, and maybe there'll be versions without it. But you can also choose to do a Note device with the S Pen that doesn't have so many features and is more affordable and is aimed at business people. Or you could have the latest and greatest camera of each generation and not miss out on an S Pen. So yeah, you get it in that February, March upgrade cycle slot. And it doesn't feel like it's less than the previous model because it doesn't have the S Pen. So
yeah,
why not?
True that. So, I mean, I was also leaning towards the same explanation, that like some kind of let's say the next one, S30 Ultra, let's just assume that it's called that, ships with the S Pen. So they don't even have much of a branding crisis there, right? I mean, S Pen in the S30, that's it kind of fits, even though it may not be the most obvious.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Samsung is the only company that's got this S Pen going. Other companies have tried working with the stylus, but nobody quite has that level of hardware software integration. Oh, and we didn't even touch upon the new features in software, which is the Notes app synchronization with Microsoft OneNote, and the ability to use Samsung's DeX, which is the desktop environment, where you can now have your entire phone sort of virtualized on the desktop, and you can run Android apps on the desktop through the Microsoft Windows 10, your phone app. And so there's a lot going on over there, which is representative of functionality that really should be in every flagship. So it might not make sense for Samsung to do another S-series device and position it as a flagship without these features, and then expect to compete with the next OnePlus phone at half the price.
Yeah, so it's a tough time to be Samsung, even though the company has been doing quite well, because these are not easy decisions, right? I mean, you've been doing all these things for all these years and they've been working fairly well, and suddenly now you're faced with competition in multiple segments from multiple different brands, and you know, somehow it's just tougher than ever before. Like, I remember that there was a time when in the 10 to 20,000 rupee price range, Samsung was absolutely killing it in the market. But now multiple Chinese brands have come in at 10 to 50, not just, you know, in the 10 to 20 range. And they're just stifling Samsung from always. So let's see what they come up with. I'll be actually pretty interested to see if there's a future for the Lite series that you spoke about earlier, the S10 Lite and the Note 10 Lite. That could give them some kind of an edge. Like you said, the Note 10 Lite is definitely a unique device at that price point, right? Somebody might want a device with a stylus and may not want to spend 80,000 or whatever the prices of the latest Note device, and they can get that for cheap. But apart from that, I'm not entirely sure, like, if they, Samsung will also jump into that game of giving you crazy good specs at really great prices. So far, we haven't seen that with the M series either, have we?
No, but you know, the opportunity exists. Like Samsung could decide to democratize the S Pen, and that would certainly be something that other companies can't match. So, you know, one can hope.
Yeah, let's see how that goes. So anyway, with that, we'll wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you guys should definitely go to gadgets360.com, check out the review section. We have reviews of a bunch of products, but do check out the Note 20 Ultra review over there. The night mode samples in particular that we spoke about, you have to see it to believe it, so definitely go and check those out. And of course, you can read the entire review as well. That would make all of us really happy. And apart from that, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at gadgets360. You can subscribe to this podcast, rate it, review it on any podcast app that you have, whichever is your favorite. You can do that. These things, they help us a lot. And of course, finally, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.